Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text Number 27. Tam Atmanam Paramatva. Paramatmanam Eva Cha. Atma Puna Bhagir Mrigya. Ahogya. Janata Geta Tvam You Atmanam, the real self. Param, something else. Matva, thinking. Param, something else. Atmanam, yourself. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Atma, Atma, the Supreme Self. Puna, again. Bahi, outside. Vrigya, must be searched out. Aho, O. Agya, ignorant. Janata, of persons. Agyata, the ignorance. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Just see the foolishness of those ignorant persons who consider you to be the same separated manifestation of illusion and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, the material body. Such fools conclude that the Supreme Soul is to be searched for somewhere outside your Supreme Personality. Purport. Lord Brahma is amazed at the gross ignorance of conditioned souls who consider Lord Krishna's Supreme Spiritual Body to be material. Ignorant of the spiritual form of the Lord, such persons also consider their own material bodies to be the self, and therefore they conclude that spiritual reality is to be found somewhere beyond the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna. Sometimes such fools consider Lord Krishna to be one of the many individual souls who together constitute a single, impersonal, spiritual entity. Unfortunately, such speculators are not inclined to hear from the Lord Himself or from the Lord's authorized representatives, such as Lord Brahma, because they whimsically speculate on the nature of the Supreme. Their ultimate result is confusion and ignorance, which they euphemistically. It's described as the mystery of life. So the text again. Tvam Atmanam Paramatva Param Atmanam Evacha Atma Parapuna Pahira Mrigya Ahogya Janata Gyata. Just see the foolishness of those ignorant persons consider you to be the same separated manifestations of illusion and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, a material body. Such fools conclude that the Supreme Soul is to be searched for something somewhere outside your Supreme Personality. Lord Brahma is suggesting that we give up the tendency to speculate. As he says in another verse, Yane priyasa udapasta namanta eva. So, yane priyasa. Priyasa means endeavor. And yane, to acquire knowledge through the speculative process. What does speculation mean? It means that we don't even know what the source of our knowledge is. In other words, if you ask someone, on what basis are you saying that? Generally speaking, either they look confused, because no one ever asks anyone that. They assume that whatever comes to their mind has some validity. But if you ask them where it came from, then they don't know. That famous story of, I forget the name of the ass, Gargle? I think his name was Gargle. There was one ass named Gargle. And he was the favorite ass of the washerman. So one day, the ass died. Everyone knows what an ass is? A what? A donkey. I don't know if an ass, I guess they're a donkey, yes. What's the word for donkey in Slovene?
Osel.
So one day, his favorite Osel, he died. And he was very upset, so he shaved his head, because in the Vedic culture, when some relative dies, then you usually shave your head, which is a sign of someone gave up the world. So he was lamenting, he had a shaven head, and one day the tax collector came by and saw the washerman and asked him, "Why did you shave your head?" He said, "Don't you know? Gargle has died." And he said, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." So the tax collector thought it was some very prominent person, so he shaved his head. And then the policeman saw the tax collector shaved his head and asked, "Why did you shave your head? What happened?" He said, "Haven't you heard? Gargle has died." He said, "No, I didn't know that." So he shaved his head. So the chief of police asked, and he shaved his head. The mayor asked, and he shaved his head. The head of the region, the king, shaved his head. Finally, everyone in the kingdom practically had a shaven head. So the kings wondered, why did everyone shave their head? So the chief minister said, "Haven't you heard? Gargle has died." He said, "No, I haven't heard that. Who's Gargle?" He asked. So he said, "I don't know." "So why don't you find out?" So they traced it all the way back to the washerman and found out that Gargle was an ass. Ogle? What's the name of ass? Ogle? Also. So the king found out it was an ass that died. And everyone shaved their heads in order for the honor of the ass. So similarly, people think they know something, but if you trace it back, they'll find out it came from an ass. They have really no idea what the basis of their so-called information is. So that's called mental speculation. Most of the things we think we know actually don't come from any valid source. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the body changes, but the soul doesn't change. That there's a soul who's conscious in the body, and it doesn't change. So that knowledge defeats all mental speculation. What happens to this, you know, does a soul disappear at the time of death? Who's the person at the time of conception? When does the soul appear in the body? No, it's one can understand the soul is eternal. There was never a time, Krishna says, "I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Or in the future, shall any of us cease to be?" So all this speculation about when the living entity enters into the womb, what happens to the soul after this body leaves the body, after the body disappears, We understand from Bhagavad Gita, we say an authorized source, because an authorized source is something that actually knows the truth. And the truth is, we're eternal. Otherwise, everyone here listening to the class, they couldn't remember where they were 5 minutes ago because they have already disappeared. If they were their body, they've disappeared. So they couldn't remember what was said 5 minutes ago because they have a different body, a different mind, a different intelligence. Everything has changed. And indeed, from the material point of view, everything is changing at every moment. But we ourselves can remember what happened, what we were doing before we came here, what we were doing 5 years ago. We can remember these things because we're not part of the material world. And a liberated soul, such as Krishna, he can remember the past, present, and future. Because he has nothing to do with the material energy. Well, he has something to do with material energy, but he's not affected by the material energy. So, Gyane Priyasa Udapasta Namandeva. So give up the tendency to speculate. This is very difficult. We're quite addicted to speculating. Everything we look at, we speculate about. Either we try to speculate, is this, and everything. Do I like this person? Don't I like this person? What are they thinking about? Everything. We just speculate one thing after another. And usually the conclusion is, either I like the person or I don't like the person. But that's all mental speculation. It's all based upon our temporary mood that we're in and how we feel, etc. But actually looking and seeing how everyone is a spiritual being, how inside everyone's heart is a super soul, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyava vinashantanya pashyati sapashyati. One who can see the Supreme Soul accompany all souls, and who knows that neither the soul nor the Supreme Soul within the body is ever destroyed, he actually sees. So if we don't see that when we're looking around, then we're just speculating. Now we may not be speculating where the soul came from, we're just speculating about something. She's wearing a kind of maroon sweatshirt. I don't know if I like, do I like maroon or not? So that's just speculation. Who cares what color you like or not? It's simply you're wasting your time being ignorant by speculating. So of course we're accustomed to that. We think that's life. Whether I like something or I don't like something is very important. Of course, one moment I like something, and the next moment I don't like something. So it has no stability. Tarka apratishta shutiya vibhina. Such speculation, tarka apratishta, apratishta, is unsteady. But Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, and the same knowledge is there. Samam pachanhi sarvatra samam vashutim ishvaram ehinastatmanatmanam tatoyutipuram gitim. One who sees the soul, super soul, accompanying all bodies, and knows not that this, neither the self nor the super soul is ever destroyed, does not degrade himself by his mind unless he approaches the supreme destination. So as soon as we look around and we think, oh, here is a woman, here is a man, and here is a Slovenian, here is an American, here is a Croatian, whatever, as soon as, if that's what we're thinking, it may have some basis in some level of reality, but it's not real. It's just a mental concoction, really. If you go up further enough to this planet, try to figure out where Croatia is. There's no line drawn on the earth, you know, dividing up Croatia and dividing up Slovenia. There's no such thing. It's just our mental concoction. Maybe it's the language, but if I learn Croatian, does that make me a Croatian? What is the reasoning behind it? But the fact that the super soul is in everyone's heart, accompanying all living entities, and neither the soul nor the super soul will ever be destroyed, then he won't be degrade ourselves by our mind. Do we ever think that when I'm speculating, I'm degrading myself by my mind? No, we think we're enjoying life by speculating, or whatever we think we're doing. We may not think of what we're doing. But we're actually degrading ourselves by our mind because we're just cultivating ignorance. We're enjoying or suffering ignorance. Therefore, Jnani Priyasa Mudapastana Mante, become submissive. So that takes some training to become submissive. First of all, if we're caught up in our mental conceptions as being real, as being important at least, even if we say to some degree they're real on some basis of what we consider a platform of reality, still whether they're actually beneficial or not. So in the Manteva, Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam. Hear from persons, Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam. Hear from persons who actually have some knowledge. In other words, try to hear so that not only when we hear in the class or hearing from them, but we actually see, we start seeing with eyes of knowledge what's actually going on. Not that this is an intellectual exercise. Someone gives a class and we train for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or for half an hour. We see through the eyes of scripture and then we go in back to our so-called normal life where we go on speculating the whole day through. And we think we're doing something important. Yes, we may be doing devotional service, which is important, but devotional service should mean action in Krishna consciousness, not just speculation and doing service. Then, sthanesthita, then we can actually become satisfied with what we're doing, with our whatever our service is, whatever our present occupation is, whatever our ashram is, we become satisfied because externally it's not really so important for the soul exactly which manifestation of the illusory energy he's trapped in. What's important is changing his consciousness and seeing things properly so that he exists in the spiritual consciousness. Material existence is not because we have a material body. Material existence is because we have material consciousness. That it doesn't really matter what ashram or varna we're in. What matters is our consciousness while we're performing activity. So, sthanesthita, Lord Brahma says, remain in any position. There's no need to change from one ashram to the next or from one varna to the next. Shuddhi gatam, just learn how to hear properly. And how do we know if we're hearing properly? Because sthanesthita shuddhi gatam tanu vangmanobhir. Tanu means the body. Vang means the words. Mano means the mind. Engage them in Krishna's service. In other words, we have to learn how to utilize our words. Well, let's start with the body. How do you utilize the body in Krishna's service? If we're actually conscious of the fact that I'm using this body in Krishna's service and that I'm not the body and that whatever I'm doing, it's not going to affect, in one sense, externally, it does whatever I'm doing externally doesn't have a good effect or a negative effect on the soul. What has a good effect or negative effect on the soul is where our consciousness is when we're doing the activity. Therefore, we can relax. We don't have to put on a show of any activity. We don't have to worry about the results because we have to do it nicely for Krishna as an example. But the external activity is not as important as our consciousness. Because if our consciousness is proper, then our external activities will naturally be proper. the Prabhupada writes, we don't work with our body actually. The soul works with his mind and intelligence. So if our intelligence is in the right place and our mind is in the right place, then naturally our activities will be in the right place too. But Vangmini's words. So words are the manifestation of intelligence. So if we're following the words coming down into simple succession, we're accepting them and doing our activities on the basis of Vang, the words in the simple succession, then our mind will actually be in Krishna consciousness. Because that's what the simple succession wants us to do. That's the whole idea, is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So that's, we're using our intelligence to do that, or as Prabhupada writes, one should organize one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So if we're organizing our life like that, with our intelligence, then we'll think about Krishna. Then our activities will be lined up with Krishna in devotional service. And what will be the result? Sanestita shudhikitam tanuvangmanobir ye priyasa. By such endeavor, jita means we conquer. Jita tichok taisilo Taistrilokyam, that we conquer Krishna, who's any other means, is Krishna is not conquerable. Now the main speculation is pointed out here is that we don't accept the path of devotional service as outlined by Krishna because we don't believe in Krishna. Or we don't take him very seriously. We think he was we compartmentalized Krishna, that he was a coward boy, maybe, lived in a village some thousands of years ago. Maybe he comes as a deity sometimes, who knows? But to realize Krishna is in every atom of this, not only this Slovenia, but of the entire world that we know, the whole entire universe, of all the universes as described in the Shastra, of the spiritual world, that Krishna is everywhere, and then automatically we start speculating that he's impersonal. Anyone who's everywhere must be just like the force or the energy, because otherwise, how could he be everywhere? He'd be completely bewildered, like we'd be bewildered. In other words, we compare ourselves, Krishna, to ourselves, and think if I was two places at once, I'd have a hard time figuring out what to do. What to speak of everywhere? How confusing that would be. Impossible. Immediately the conclusion is, we immediately start bringing Krishna down to our level. It can't be like that. Frog in the well philosophy. It's impossible. How can Krishna be so great? It's ridiculous. And if he was, it would be unfair. Why was he born that way? What? He wasn't born? That's ridiculous. He had an immaculate birth from Mother Jasoda. This is really getting fantastic. Now we have to, that's why we can't blindly accept what it says in Shastra, because we won't. Nor should we blindly reject it, which is another tendency. No, we have to hear from Krishna and his representatives, try to utilize our body, mind, and words appropriately, as Krishna would like. Give up the anxiety of speculation. Just try to have a little faith based upon our previous experience and what we read in the Shastra. And then try to do devotional service as Krishna would like us to do it. Masujaha. Without anxiety over the past, present, or future, without anxiety or the past, present, future, carefully and attentively to please Krishna. And what would be the result is that at least we won't be in anxiety. What is the value? What added value is there in being in anxiety? Unless a tiger is chasing you to eat you, it's good to be a little anxiety. Now you think, oh, here's the tiger coming to eat me, and well, you know, you got to relax and maybe I should breathe harder. Now there's a time to be in anxiety, at least from the material point of view, and there's a time to be relaxed. People are unnecessarily putting themselves in anxiety over the results of their work. When their anxiety over the results of the work doesn't improve the work at all, it makes it worse. On the other hand, with our philosophy, we understand that we're not the doer, we're the desirer, and we desire to do things nicely for Krishna, to see if we're actually doing things as nicely as possible, with care and attention, then we'll naturally become relaxed and think about Krishna and become blissful. The problem is that we don't trust Krishna. And therefore we don't trust that I don't have to worry about the results. We think that by my worrying about the results of my work, I'm going to gain something. I'll be more careful and attentive. Maybe the sky will fall, or maybe the ceiling will fall while I'm doing my work. Or we create all kinds of what happens if. And then we're constantly attentive to what happens if. What happens if the price of the euro changes? What happens if there's no prasadam tomorrow? What happens if my back hurts tomorrow? What happens if I get up late? What happens if I get up early? What happens if so many what? And then we just put ourselves into anxiety, trying to figure out how to counteract all the what ifs. And none of them happen. But it doesn't make any difference for us. We add on what more what ifs every day to our repertoire of anxiety, thinking we're becoming more intelligent, more alert. And if we're not anxiety, then we go on the internet to read the news to find out what's happening in Iraq or somewhere else, so we can put ourselves in anxiety. What happens if they invade Iraq or whatever? So we should just give up all this anxiety, because we have little control over 99.99% of what we're in anxiety about. If we forgot about it, it would make any difference in our lives. Except that we'd be happy, that's all. And we can think of Krishna more easily. And what to speak of, we have some faith in Krishna that all these what ifs he'll take care of it for ourselves. However he wants, that we just concentrate on devotional service. So, the whole idea of hearing this class is to develop some faith in Krishna. He is what he says he is, and he's more than what we can conceive of. And have some trust in him while we're doing our service. He's not an ordinary person. He can actually take care of all our what ifs if he wants to. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned that it's very important to develop trust in Krishna, so I would like to ask for some advice as how can we really develop trust in Krishna.
Well, trust comes from experience. If you trust someone, you give them some money. You trust them because you've heard from others that they're trustworthy, or you gave them money in the past and they utilized it properly. So it's developed by experience. So the first experience is anukulyasya sankalpe. Do things that Krishna and his devotees ask us to do to experience Krishna consciousness. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are things that are favorable. And if we get a positive experience, we get the experience that even sometimes what we expect or what we've been told or even beyond that, then we have trust that these are activities which are, I trust in. They'll give me a positive result. And then anukulyasya sankalpe, so do things favorable, and then anukulyasya sankalpe, what's the next one? Pratikulyasya varjana, pratikulya, things that you're not supposed to do, give them up. So we give up things like illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. Then we find that our experience of Krishna consciousness becomes deepened. And then Rakshisya Titi Vishva, so believe that Krishna will provide what we need, what we actually need. So we see that, for instance, by devotional service, we actually get nice prasadam, we get intelligence, so many things that we trust Krishna will give us what we need. Vishvaso, Rakshisyastiti Vishvaso, Goptrive Varanam Tata. And Krishna will protect our consciousness and even our material body by giving us appropriate intelligence and making the appropriate arrangements. And Krishna will afford us protection in so many different ways. So these things are developed in faith, and eventually we have no interest besides Krishna's interest, and we always feel dependent on Krishna, even if we're seemingly capable of doing something. We always rely upon Krishna and always feel ourselves meek and humble, because we realize how wonderful Krishna and how wonderful Krishna's everyone else is, and how wonderful Krishna's energies are working. So that develops by experience. Anything else? Kwala, Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.